and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And tell the show, we're talking about maintenance costs. How much should you set aside each year or budget for maintaining your property and keeping it in good nick? Because in our book, Wealth Plan, that's what we talk about. You, as a property investor, you are in business and you've got a product. Your product is your property. And so you've got to make sure that that product is kept in good nick for your tenants. Because, you know, if you do have a well-maintained property, you are going to get a better quality tenant. Maybe that's going to decrease your vacancy rate as well. Now, property maintenance, it is an extra cost on top of the mortgage, on top of the rates, on top of the insurance. And of course, there's no set annual figure that absolutely everyone uses.
And I think that's why people kind of just forget about it. And then they get hit with this big maintenance bill and then it's stressful for them.
Yeah, and even some property investment books that I've read, when people are talking about their budgets for their investment properties, I've seen a couple of big time investors say, well, I don't actually budget for maintenance. So the reason is because there's no set amount every year.
What a terrible theory. If there's no set amount per year, don't put anything aside.
Well, I think what they were getting at is as maintenance comes up, they just pay for it, because if you're in a financially stable position, you can probably afford that. Mm. But if you're starting out as an investor, some of those big bills you need to think about. And so we've got to make an estimate. But what you spend is going to depend on the age of your property and how nice it is. You know, if it's already run down, your maintenance bill is going to be high. If it's well looked after, your maintenance bill is going to be lower. So, Andrew, how much should property investors allow for annual maintenance?
Well, we're going to give you that answer that we don't like giving. It depends. At the lower end, like if you're talking about an apartment or a townhouse, these tend to have lower maintenance because they've got more limited outdoor space and the properties may be smaller in some instances. So normally if it's brand new, we sort of say kind of $500 a year. We'd budget for $500 a year, but it probably doesn't actually get used.
Yeah, but even if I think about, I own an apartment that's well over 10 years old, was refurbished, but I would spend $200 to $300 a year on maintenance, right? And the reason is because there's no outdoors to look after. You don't have to think about the outside of the property. Now, your body corporate fees will be a bit higher, right? That's what you're about to jump in and say.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So your body corporate will have a component of long-term maintenance fund. So Ed will be putting money aside in that without actually knowing he's putting money aside in that.
Yeah, but if we're thinking about what you budget for, your body corp fees will be well known. And so you can probably afford to just budget a little bit less for maintenance if you've got an apartment or a townhouse, even if it is a bit old. Obviously, if you're thinking about older apartments, then some of the body corporate fees can be quite expensive, prohibitively expensive, but we've talked about those on the show before.
But again, if you've got a house and maybe it's a bit older, that's going to be more maintenance in itself. But then as well, if you've got large amount of land with, you know, big hedges, trees, those kind of things, you might need to get a gardener in to maintain the grounds as well. And so just to give you a range, normally I'd say $500 per year for a new build, because you've got warranties on your appliances, your oven, your stove, your dishwasher, hot water cylinder. So these are all going to keep the general maintenance down. And I actually asked the property manager how much they see people spend on maintenance. And they said for the new builds that they manage, the property investors spend very little because everything is covered by that warranty. But that same property manager said they've got a property which is a 30-year-old townhouse. The owners of that spent $3,200 on maintenance last year. So it can vary quite a lot.
And it's important to point out, just when you're talking about the trees, the hedges, if you have a house, the tenant's not responsible for maintaining the hedges and the trees. And so that does fall on you. If you've got a massive backyard, that can have additional costs. Now, let's go through the budget of that property investor you just mentioned who spent $3,200 on maintenance last year, just to see what's in there. Now, just for context, it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse in Ellerslie. I think it must be quite a large townhouse. Apparently quite well maintained, according to that property manager. This is somebody from Barford and Thompson. And so that property investor collected $800 a week, so about 40 grand worth of rent. They spent $230 to fix a leaking toilet, so hired a plumber to come in. There was $590, call it $600, on trimming some plants, so garden maintenance, getting a gardener in. The big one was roof maintenance. Now, that cost $2,000, and it was a bit of a one-off cost. That was to get somebody in to clean up the tiles on the roof, repair some of those tiles. So that won't be there every single year, but they also had to get an electrician in to fix a faulty plug. That was $210. And also had to service their security alarm system, and all up just under $3,300, which was 8.2% of the rent collected.
Quite a painful year for that investor, given that we've got higher interest rates and no deductibility or limited deductibility.
Yeah, but some of these are going to be ongoing, right? So yeah, let's just say we take out the roof maintenance, which was $2,000. You're not going to do that every year, are
no,
you?
No, you might do that maybe every 5 years.
Okay, so let's get rid of that. We're still talking about $1,300, which that $1,300 a year, does that sort of feel right to you for a property that's 30 years old?
Yeah, so it's that was 3.2% of the rent collected. I would say that you put aside 5% of the rent collected for a much older property like this.
What do you consider to be a much older property?
30 years.
Yeah, okay. And you'd say 5% of the rent collected. So they collected $40,000. So you'd be setting aside
$2,000?
$2,000 a year.
I can't believe you used an Excel formula for that.
It's because we're recording this on a Sunday. I'm old and tired. It was hungover this morning.
That was amazing.
So we're talking about 5%. That's a good rule of thumb. You've never told me that one before. So that's one example, Andrew. Let's talk about some more, just examples of the ranges. What have you seen with your properties? Which ones have seen lots of maintenance? Which ones have seen less maintenance?
So the properties that I bought that were as-is properties, so they've been through earthquakes and then I renovated them, fixed them up, got them reinsured, those were the ones that were really heavy maintenance. And some of those were like $5,000 a year on average.
So what are you spending that $5,000 on? Where's
there
it
going? There was lots of roof maintenance, funnily enough, after mentioning that. Some of them had large sections. One of them was really painful with the driveway. I think I've talked to you about Rossmore Terrace because it was a steep driveway and there was an easement that allowed all the other houses up the driveway to use it, but I was responsible for it. Ended up costing me easily $4,000 a year for the years that I own that.
What are you spending $4,000 on the driveway doing? What are you
because,
doing?
It was because there were potholes coming out in it and then the neighbours would come and complain.
Yeah, because you own the driveway.
Yeah, it was an absolute nightmare.
It's so annoying that you owned the driveway and had to do it up. That's a good learning for other property investors listening to this. Should have put a toll road in.
Oh, that's what I said. I was going, oh, look, if you don't all pitch in, this is what I said before I sold the property. If you don't all pitch in, I'm going to put a toll road in there and you're going to have to pay me to get out.
I'm going to say, no, there's an easement on there. Okay, so $4,000 or $5,000 a year. And what would that have been compared to the rent that you were collecting?
That's a good question. I only ever remember the extreme cases. I don't think about all the things that go good in my property investment. I think about the ones that annoy me. That would have been like a significant amount, like 8% probably.
Yeah, okay. And then if we think about maybe the other extreme, some properties that you've bought that haven't needed as much maintenance, you know, what are we talking
about? There's some new properties that I've had that I might have spent like $1,000 over 5 years. At most.
Yeah, okay. So $200 a year. So that kind of gives you the range. You know, as little as $200 or $300 a year, all the way up to potentially $5,000 a year, depending on what you're investing in. In fact, we recently did a podcast. We were talking about the guy who owned a unit in Auckland, and we were talking about 3Xing his retirement income. So this was a 72-year-old guy. He's managing this property himself, and he's saying, well, I own a property that's worth $1 million, but actually I only get $12,000 a year in the hand. And one of the reasons was that I think 1 year he spent maybe $10,000 replacing the hot water cylinder and a couple of grand on other things around, walked away with even less that specific year. So maintenance can be a little or it can be a lot. Now, if we're thinking about maintenance costs, what are some of the ones that property investors often overlook?
So some of the common ones are like having your heat pump service. So that can cost between $150 and $250. Similarly, you know, again, doing your smoke alarm maintenance, that's about $100. A house wash is a big one. So depending on where your property is, if you're buying, say, near the beach, for example, you might have to have your property washed to make sure that you maintain the exterior, particularly if it's an older weatherboard house. That can cost kind of $500, more if it's a weatherboard or a metal house. One of the ones that got me recently is a gutter clean. Now, a gutter clean can cost between $180 to $280.
How'd it get you?
Oh, actually, that seems a bit cheap, to be honest. That's the guide that I've been given here. But my one cost about $1,500, and this is for a brand new property, but there's a massive tree that hangs over my gutters, and so every winter I end up having to pay to have that cleaned out, otherwise it might cause a leak.
$1,500?
Yeah, because it's a two-story house, and so they have to go in and get, I don't know, scaffolding or a cherry picker or something like that.
Why don't you just get a ladder
yourself?
I'll just
do it myself. Oh, I will. Do you know, the funny thing was, I was talking to Candace, my EA, the other day about it, saying, what the hell is this for? She said, I'll go around there and do it for that.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
But you wouldn't do a gutter clean for every...
No, not for every property. And so this is where I knew that that tree was there when I bought the property. That's why I bought that one in the development, because I didn't want my investors to buy that one and have to deal with it. But generally speaking, you wouldn't pay something like that, but you should be aware of it if there is a tree right next to your property.
And then in terms of the house wash, how often would you do a house wash?
I've never done it, but I don't have any properties that are near the beach.
Yeah, okay. So if it's by the beach, if it's made of metal, if it's a weatherboard house,
yeah,
that's when you do it. And if we're thinking about how can you as a property investor keep the cost down, I think the first thing to remember is that maintenance is your problem and your cost, right? So if the tenant damages something, often it's on you to replace it. So you, when you're purchasing a property, I've heard investors say things, they want a premium property. So they might want premium modern taps and, you know, premium bench tops because it's nicer. But when those things break, you're the one that's got to pay for it, right? And just remember that tenants aren't always going to respect your property the same way that you would. So first of all, choosing some hard wearing materials, generally speaking, that's going to be better because you're the one that's going to have to pay to replace it if it does get broken. The other thing is that sometimes choosing a better quality brand will mean lower costs overall. So if you think about choosing it, what's a good dishwasher, Andrew?
Fisher & Paykel, maybe?
You've clearly never bought a dishwasher.
I've got no idea.
Or compare that to a worse quality dishwasher, which might be a Whirlpool or something like that. If that breaks down more often, it could be more expensive overall. And just the last thing, as a bit of an offshoot, maybe don't supply all of the appliances. And I remember, Andrew, you speaking to an investor, first-time investor, and the tenants were asking, oh, would you be open to us paying you more rent and you supplying the fridge, the dishwasher, all of the whiteware? Now, the benefit is that you get extra rent, but the downside is if you buy all of this stuff and then it breaks down, it's on you as the property investor to fix, whereas if it's the tenant's fridge that they own, it's now on them to replace whenever there's maintenance.
That, and of course, you need to recoup that cost of that while they're in their tenancy. So let's say, for example, it costs you another $2,000 and they were only there for a year and you only got another $1,000 worth of rent. Well, your next tenant might not pay that premium for those appliances.
So all up, maintenance, how much you got to budget for? Somewhere between $200 and $5,000. Usually we say $500 a year for a new built property. And then generally, once you get up to that 30 years, we usually say kind of $2,000 a year. But Andrew also has a good rule of thumb, 5% of the rent you're collecting once you get to 20 to 30 years old. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come to my upcoming webinar. It's about the new tax rules for you Kiwi property investors, and it's on Tuesday the 16th of April. It's going to be so good because there are a lot of tax changes happening. We're going to talk about how they work together because we've talked a lot in the past about interest deductibility. We've talked a lot in the past about the app tax. Well, what if you've got a property that gets interest deductibility, but you've also got to pay the app tax? How does that impact you as a property investor? That's what we're going to go through, as well as a whole heap of other examples. So if you want to come along, links down in the show notes, tap or swipe over the cover art. There'll be a link in there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Beckham.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you be the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.